me, Holy Spirit.
I have eyes to see. I have ears to hear. Your Spirit is on my case. Amen. And amen. Today's March 8th, correct?
Yes.
2022, Tuesday, 3:27 a.m. I'm reading my notes. Are you ready? I celebrate your grace to me, Lord, for this new day in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Then I heard, write it down. Death is a door to eternity. Oh, okay. Of course, I got the funeral on my mind. Okay? Death is a door to eternity. And you and I will cross over into the realm at some appointed time. So when I go into that door, if I have the keys to enter heaven or hell, then my future residence will be revealed, and my spirit will then be examined by Jesus, and he will see if he sees his blood covering me, or if I am naked, then my future home will be known. I said, Lord, I know, I've shared, in fact, with the people this morning, that I've left my body more than once, but I didn't go into details this morning. And I know that the realm of the spirit is very real because I've been there. Well, not everybody has. So he reminded me that in order to develop his sons and daughters, we have to go through certain things. And the blood covering is our identity. Because when you're covered by the blood of Jesus, your sins are no longer visible. So there's nothing to keep you from going to heaven. And I thought, brain-wise, Kim, well, that'll be a nice message, Lord. I'll give him this. We didn't go there at all today. But he said to me this afternoon, you didn't ask me when it's for. And I says, oh, okay. He said, because logic is what you play with. It's what you use to survive. And so logic is a very good thing. And if it's intermingled by the spirit of wisdom, then you'll make wise decisions. And you'll have a victory. So he reminded me that we went into this book the other day called Crowned with Oil by George Warnock. And he had me go back, and this is what I'd like you to do right now. I'd like you to just close your eyes and listen to what this man of God wrote that helped me tremendously many years back, and it's still working on me. Does that make sense? So, God's first and special son was manifest in weakness, in poverty, in rejection, and in suffering. That's what Jesus was walking in the earth, in weakness, in poverty, in rejection, and in suffering. Long before he was manifested as the Son of God in resurrection glory. So will it be with his younger brethren. That's us. They will not be manifested as sons of God or daughters of God with power and glory until they have been manifested in the earth as followers of the Lamb and showing forth the love and mercy and virtue of their master in the midst of weakness and mortality. How foolish to think that they are above their master, and that one day they will just drop down from heaven to the earth as glorified sons to deliver creation from her bondage. The husbandman waiteth to be also patient I recognize that many things I have mentioned concerning the new covenant are not to be seen to any great extent in God's people. This does not alter the covenant or the agreement. It simply explains why the Holy Spirit is still in the earth, why Jesus had not come back yet, and why the husbandman continues to wait for the precious fruit of the earth. That's the harvest. God's precious covenant, ratified by the blood of Jesus, must yet come to ultimate fullness in his people. Say it with me. I must come to the ultimate fullness of the Holy Spirit working in me, just like he did with my big brother. That's my future. Okay, take a deep breath now. We're going to go around two. The Son must yet receive the reward of his sacrifice. That's Jesus. The Father will continue to prepare his holy bride for his Son, who is worthy of the very best that God's grace and the power of the Creator can bring forth. The Holy Spirit will be faithful in his work in the hearts of men and women to bring forth a bride that is worthy of his Son through the merits of the precious blood. When he presents this spotless virgin to Christ, he will not have to apologize something like this: "Here's your bride you wanted me to procure for you, are my Son, still full of faults and blemishes. I know, but it's the best I could do." He has all power and authority to bring forth the perfect church, the perfect fruit, the perfect bride that God authorized him to prepare. This is in John 17. That's St. John chapter 17. In Jesus' prayer for his chosen ones, which we are, just prior to his going away, we have a beautiful preview of his more excellent ministry in heaven, which is what Jesus is doing now for us and with us by his Spirit. He speaks as though he were already glorified and enthroned at God's right hand. He speaks as one who has already fulfilled his earthly ministry, because his face is firmly set for the cross that lay before him. He knows he has overcome the world, but he prays while yet in the earth, in the presence of his distraught disciples, because they're upset, that he might give them comfort and assurance concerning the purpose of his going away. If ever you find yourself wondering what the new covenant is all about and doubting whether or not it will be fulfilled in your life, just read this chapter slowly and prayerfully, and be renewed in your spirit concerning the hope of his calling and the faithfulness of your great high priest in heaven to complete the work there, as truly as he finished the work that God gave him to do here in the earth. We want to read the whole chapter and consider each verse in some detail, which I won't go into. You see, I believe that we have our mental faculties that we use. And just like you pointed out something about the different prophets and how they teach, how they bring about maybe an awareness in us to discern which area that is really God working on me. Depending on where we are in our walk with God, we're all different, okay? And so we shouldn't compare what's going on with this one or that one, or even ourselves. But to keep that 18-wheeler going forward, You've got to keep pushing on the gas. Okay? Even if it is four something a gallon. You know, you can still push. And you can still get to your destination. It's just going to be a little more costly, that's all. And it's only for a season. Because God's still in control.
Right. That's right.
But the bottom line that I'm trying to make you aware of is the way this man presents the preparation of his people to become sons and daughters. When you are sons and daughters of your parents, it's not the biological parents. It's the spiritual parents. The Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit, who is the mother figure that takes care of us and kind of nourishes us and gives us milk when we need it. And when we are misbehaving, he'll kind of slap our bum a little and readjust us. And we don't resent that. Because, again, what is he doing? He's making us change our way of doing things so that we won't crash, so that we won't get discouraged. So I was looking at that word about, yes, entering eternity. We're all going to enter eternity. And there will be a people, a sons and daughters of our Lord, that will conquer death. That will happen. Because the scripture very clearly says that the last enemy to be conquered is death. So he's going to deal with it. But he tells us in Romans 2:7 to search and hunger for life. Not to focus on death. Death is definitely a door. And yes, we're covered by the blood. But our status in the heavenlies will be according to what we've learned through what we have suffered. Our sufferings are not to be wasted. Our weaknesses are not to be wasted. Everything that we've been through is going to be used by him to help others get to their destination. And that's not just here. Okay? And a dream that God gave me way back. I had a person in my life that I had placed on a pedestal. Yeah, you got anybody that you put on pedestals? They're a little above the average folks. You know, they're special. They've got more of this and they've got more of that. So I had that person in that little space that this person is a little extra. Well, I didn't realize they were putting on an act. So their true nature didn't show up for quite a few years. And then I found out the act was full of flaws and it was done to seduce me. Oh. So my eyes started to open. Whoops. Whoa. This isn't normal. The reaction, and you know, in the front, in front of everybody, it was so sweet. But in the back, when no one was looking, there was an ulterior motive to these sweetness. And I thought, oh my God. So then I went to the opposite direction. Okay? I took him off the pedestal. I brought him down maybe even lower than me, which was not a good thing. But it was how I dealt with it. Because I said, well, I'm just going to be watching myself because I know they've got an ulterior motive. And I don't like being seduced. So I'm just right a minute. Oh, this is not going to happen. Okay? So, down the road of peace, several years, and someone in that family passed away. And a few months, years, whatever the number was, this person also passed away. Now remember, I had this person on a special pedestal. Now I've got the person down below, okay? That God was working on me all this time, right? So I have this dream. and it was extremely vivid and full color. And of course, the scene in the dream is a cemetery. And I worked for an undertaker for quite a while, so I know all the preparations. I know the digging the holes. I know to put the cement things in. I do all that, lay the greens and make everything ready so that when the people come for the burial, everything is ready. So in the dream, I'm walking on that artificial grass, and I'm going up a mound, which I perceive in the dream that it's dirt. But it's not. The green cloth or rug or whatever you call it cracks open, and the person that I had on the bottom is underneath the grass. And I can see the person, and the person is like this, doesn't want to look at me. And I thought, oh my God. Oh my God. Okay? And the person in the dream scurries away and hides in the bushes with some other people. And I thought, I woke up. And I said, Lord, what is that all about? He said, do you think they get rid of their nature when they cross over? Ooh. See, you can be blood covered, but your sin nature, if it's not cut away, you're going to cross over with it in your soul. Your mind, will, and emotions are going to work with you in the heavenlies, just like they're working in now. So the real reason for the testing that goes on, and that includes for you there, young man, with the 18-wheeler, all these things that are happening to you are to mature you now. So that when you do cross over, you're not going to be hiding because of fear tactics underneath this burial experience. So I said to the Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to pray for her. That was the solution. I said, how do I do that? He said, release your spirit, like it says in Romans 8. Just lift that person up. Say, thank you, Jesus. You're going to work with that person in the heavens. That's your job, Lord, not mine. And I'm trusting you to set that person free. I know what they did to me. I know what they chose to do. And you took them home. So now, whatever they need that they didn't do here, they're going to have to face it in the heavens. And I said, is that why Jesus is the high priest in heaven? What do you think the answer is? He's ever interceding. Not just for the earthly church. He's doing it for the heavenly church. There's construction going on in the heavens. And that was a wake-up call for me. You know, when I realized, because I thought it was all done. He said, there goes your brains again. Does that what my spirit says? Okay, I'm going to take you on the Mount of Transfiguration now. Okay? Jesus is about to be tested, and he's got a few more months in the earth, and he goes up with Peter, James, and John, and he goes into the heavenlies. Yes? Right at the top of the mountain, and then he's changed in front of them. Who shows up? Elijah. And who else?
Moses.
Moses is dead for how many hundreds of years? But he shows up. What happened? Something happened. Something that Jesus did. And they talked about Jesus' departure. Elijah never died. But Moses did. Moses could educate Jesus, which is what he did. And then Jesus was now able to just keep his focus on what Elijah and Jesus counseled together. Yeah, the lights just went on. So now when you pray for George, God is working on someone that you probably couldn't have touched at this stage in your life, but you can release yourself and say, yes, God, you're doing a work on the other side. You're educating them and bringing them up with us. So they will be glorified, and they cannot be made perfect without us. You say, where is that? Hebrews chapter 11, the very last verse. Come on. I'm not going to let that one go until you see it. Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I didn't expect to go there tonight, but we're here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. Well, back it up a little bit. Kind of look by faith, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for several days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what's more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, etc., etc. Now go down. If you look at verse 38, the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. These are saints. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, verse 1 of 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw away everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart or get depressed. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as sons. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a son or daughter. We're going to quit there. What I'm trying to make you aware of is the Lord Jesus is in the heavens, and he's doing his priestly work even today. You and I are doing our earthly work and our assignments wherever God puts us, and working with those that he's wanting us to, let's say, lift up and educate. Now, if they want the education, they're going to go fast. If they shun the rest of your instructions, he's going to let it happen for a while, and then he's going to say, whoops, that's enough. Shut down, wait, Because if they can't receive, he's not going to have you waste your time. Right or wrong? Mm-hmm. How many of you tried to give someone a hand and all of a sudden you know the door's closed? Mm-hmm. Okay? How do you know? You just know it inside. Okay? But one thing you can depend on is everything that you are, let's say, struggling through, the cloud of witnesses is witnessing it with you, and they're really behind you, and they're the cheerleaders. They're getting excited every time you have a victory. And I really believe today was one of those days.
Absolutely.
When we had this kind of victory that was prepared by God, and you saw a family come to the Lord that had been divided for years and years. Close your eyes, put your right hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, bring confirmation. I need to see this for me. That those that are on the other side, there is a time and place when I can intercede for them. And healing will happen in them, and it will happen in me. The scripture says, pray for each other that you may be healed. Confess your sins to each other that you may be healed. It happens in the heavens, and it happens in the earth. This church is one. The heavenly and the earthly are together. Yeah, I know. It's going to give you something to chew on. Why? Because it is necessary for us to come out of our, let's say, religious thoughts and thinking and taking the word for what it really is.